Conscious Living. I'm Wendy Garrett. Thank you for tuning in. I appreciate your time. Hope you're doing great. Hope everything is just peachy, fabulous, wonderful, and at the same time, unexplainable. Okay, just to keep things interesting. My guest today, this is going to be fun because we're going into an area I haven't covered much of recently. Sophia Karen Axelson has been published in Sweden. She's a writer. She's an author. She's an explorer. Her focus, the topic that she really is having fun with, is goddesses. All right. Now, the book that she has written is in Swedish, so we can't go there just yet unless it gets an American translation soon. But it's about Nordic goddesses, everyday magic for women of today. And that is the first one. There's another one coming out on wild runes, magic signs in everyday life. All right, since we can't translate it to Sweden or from Swedish to English at the moment, we have Sophia here to help us do the translation. See, isn't that convenient? Hi, Sophia.
Hi, Wendy. Thank you for having me on. That was a long explanation, but I think we will work it out. I do a lot of other things too and publish a lot of things in English, so I think we work it out for the English speaking audience as well.
Oh yeah, for us challenged, the language challenge. I had a pen pal, just so you know, I had a pen pal for 4 years when I was a teenager who lived in Sverige. All right. She knew seven languages. I was doing good with, you know, one and a half. I was learning Spanish at the time, and that's about where it stopped. But it was so fun to, you know, to have the address on the outside that was a foreign language to me. And this, so there you go. Sverige was as far as I got with it.
And we're all so jealous of the people who can speak seven languages, right? It sounds so impressive.
I'm only down to two. Okay. Well, so some of this is, though, there are things that go beyond language. Runes, that's something that I think appeals to all audiences because, again, these are symbols and signs and images and code, and they speak volumes. You know, the picture is worth a thousand words. That's one of your areas that you go into with the runes. And where would you like to start? Because I know that book is coming out, but you also are co-publisher of the Echo World, which is a magazine, online magazine that gives all sorts of wonderful insight into a lot of metaphysical and esoteric topics. So I guess I'll let you dive in with what your current project is that you've got the most passion behind. How's that?
Okay. That is a little tricky because I kind of live in two worlds, and I mean that in many ways. I moved to Virginia. Actually, yesterday was exactly 3 years ago from Sweden. It has been quite a ride since I came here. 1.5 years ago, me and my husband, Michael Peter Langevin, took over a magazine called The Echo World. It's a spiritual alternative magazine that is printed and distributed in Virginia. It's been very, very interesting for me because I have never done anything like this before. I learned layout in a matter of a month in InDesign to know how to do the actual magazine to get it out.
Yes.
So that was a little intense. Of course, I'm also bilingual best I can, so I had to brush up on my English very fast. I love publishing this magazine. It is so fun. We collaborate with so many interesting authors. Many are local, but we also have a lot of names that are national and international that we are very proud of. Lynn Andrews, Turco Whitaker, Neil Donald Walsh, for example. Has contributed several times, so that's very exciting. Doing this, of course, for me, I have had to work pretty hard to be able to use my magic that I brought with me from back home in Sweden and translate that into another environment, I guess you could say. And I have thought a lot about lately about immigration and emigration and where do magic live? Does it live in the land or can we take it with us? How does that work? And the runes are a very good example. I would like to mention that I will actually start translating pieces of this book and put on my blog, sophiakarenaxelson.blogspot.com, as soon as me and my publisher have it off to the printer, so I know that it's really, really being published. So people that are interested, they because this has, this book is very delayed. What people that are interested in runes can read more there once I get that going. There are, of course, a lot of good books in English, too, for those that are interested.
Mm-hmm.
For me, the rune roll is, it was used, the first runes were, signs of the runes are actually as old as 2,000 years old, so they've been around for a little while. They were used for writing, but we also know that they were used for magical purposes. For me, they are very, very strong. You can play with them, but you shouldn't take them too lightly, because once you work with them, things do start to happen in your life and in yourself and around you. And I guess having moved over the Atlantic kind of proves that. And finding the love of my life just the most recent years. The runes, I think, why I called my book Wild Runes is because I think it's important to remember about the runes that they can never be tamed. When you work with them, you work with very natural wild forces that will tame you deeply. I recommend people to work with them if they're curious and feel pulled towards them, but you should be a little respectful when you work with them. That would be my first advice about the runes. I would also like to say, I think that's important, today I live 45 minutes from Charlottesville, Virginia, that has been not so nicely renowned now, that mm-hmm. there are associations between the runes and old Nordic mythology and Nordic magic that has to do with white supremacy. I just want to take this moment in time and say that that is, of course, total nonsense. Anybody who feels pulled towards the runes should work with them and feel free to do so. This is just a perverted form of using the runes, and it really has no legacy from the past and how they work magically. I think that is very important to mention where we are today.
Well, I've worked with runes in what, 20 or, oh gosh, maybe 30, a little longer ago than I remember. I started, though, the healing runes. I started using that and then working with the other runes and learning the symbols and the signs, and I got away from it, but it was, at the time, it was very helpful because to me, it didn't have a lot of extra baggage. It was new, and it was a way of connecting with another type of energy that gave me more information without any kind of inherent baggage. And that's the best way I can put it, is that it was like putting an overlay down that gave me a map to work with. And by identifying different runes when they come up, because this is an intuitive thing, you're doing a reading and you're asking what would be most helpful for me to hear at this time, and then the rune comes to you. And so it doesn't have any kind of dogma attached to it from my perspective. And you know, fads come and go, but the runes have been here a long time, long before any of that got attached to them.
Yes. And you got for me. For me, that's exactly. Say again.
Nope. Go ahead. It cut out.
For me, that's exactly how you're supposed to work with them. The more open-minded you are, the more information they will give you. And they will, if you're really lucky, probably give you information that is very old, very ancient, very universal, and connect you to nature, to the web. I call it the web. Some people call it the world tree. We can use that too. The runes have the capacity of connecting you to all there is and give that shape and form and make it possible for you to communicate with those forces. And it's just like you said, what you need is what's coming up. So if you, for example, you do the classic and you have a little rune bag and you have your rune roll, all the runes in it, you draw runes, whatever you need in your life at that moment in time is what you're going to get. And I really mean that, both good and bad, not that there's anything bad about the runes, but some lessons can be pretty harsh. Sometimes there are things that you have to let go of, for example, and sometimes there are things that you have to change in your way of thinking. And then they will keep telling you that until you get it. And I'm sure you recognize this from when you did work with them. They are good teachers. They're good tools. And they're also pretty persistent in you doing your homework spiritually and magically. At least that is my experience.
Well, and that's the thing. A lot of this, you know, it helps you develop your intuition and you can see where you might be projecting something instead of receiving something. And, you know, it helps develop more clear perspectives, clarity of thought, and getting rid of the extra. Sometimes in our language, we tend to put in a bunch of stuff that just makes it less understandable or convoluted would be the word. And the runes are very good at just getting all of that out of the way and giving you a lot clearer divination potential. And that's that was my experience. I just got rid of the extra tools like that and began doing it one-on-one with my guides. And so the runes became, they were there as a stepping point, a stepping stone to working my own language and getting rid of, once I begin to get more clear pictures and images and thoughts, then I understood better how to work with my own dialogue, and the runes were helpful in that way, like the tarot. There are a lot of different tools out there for divination. Some people, you know, the pendulum, they'll do dowsing, the runes, the tarot, the other cards. I even went into working with matches because I was getting a clear picture of how the energy played out, and if I would just drop the matches, I could do a read with that. So yes. For me, these are all tools to learn our own way of communicating and engaging our intuition. And the runes are very effective, I think, at getting rid of the extra baggage that sometimes we attach to putting a read into a card. We draw so much from those pictures and bigger images that sometimes they don't make sense. They just make it more difficult and more complicated. And the runes, I think, are very simple.
Yes.
Does it make sense?
I agree. It makes perfect sense, and I agree fully. I think you should use any tool that you feel drawn to. So I'm not saying that runes are better than any other, but I think what you're talking about, getting rid of this excess of language and maybe images and sentences that we always have in our head, like records, they're very, very good for that. And they're fun to work with. And maybe that's what I mean when I say they work, they can connect you to very natural, clean forces that are what they are. There's a reason why we have a hail rune, for example. There's a reason why we have a rune of need. They cut right to the chase and take away a lot of this. It's not only, I think, the language that we learn to say to ourselves since we were brought up that, oh, I always do this, or whatever we say. It's also a new age language that we have created that sometimes take away a little of the depth and the meaning of things just because we say it as a reaction rather than thinking about what we're saying. When people do too much of the, oh yes, love and light, I always feel like saying, well, is that really what you feel right now? Is that really what you're going to work with right now? It's never wrong with love and light, but sometimes we need all the forces, and we need to work on several levels, and we need to work on deeper levels, and the rules can be very helpful. Yes, absolutely.
Well, the thing I think that you draw too is that there's that shadow and light. And so you really have to have the full-bodied elements of these, because one one day, somebody who's just all about joy, 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 happy, happy, happy is going to go through a dark period, a space where all of this stuff kind of falls apart. And you have to have a foundation. You have to be able to understand that just because all of a sudden it turns a little darker and cloudier doesn't mean that's bad. Sometimes that's to give you a break for a different type of insight. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense. Absolutely. And not only do we need to know the darker forces, and I mean the darker forces totally neutral when I say that, just the ones that take things away or break things apart, because they have to be taken away or broken apart if we are to move forward. Not only do we have to be prepared for times when we get sorrow or loss in our life, which happens to everybody at some point in time or many points in time, but I think also that however lovely our upbringing might have been, it's almost impossible to grow up in this world without bringing shadow bags with us. We have scars from when we were kids. We have scars from when we were teenagers, young adults. And those, at some point, have to be addressed. And that's why I think it's so important to work both with the light and the dark and take moments in time and try to face some of those scars and maybe some fears that are built up around them, because we don't know how much we limit ourselves from things that we have with us from the past. And we cannot know that until we're ready to look at them. And of course, there are many, many ways to do this. The runes is only one tool we can use to do this.
Well, when you're working with goddess energy, how does that relate?
Oh, how does that relate? Well, for one, different goddesses are differently strong in different runes. So as any really good divination system, runes contain everything there is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there are goddesses that are connected to the different runes. So that's, they're connected that way. For me, it was actually the other way around. It was goddesses that introduced me to the runes. I got to know the goddesses first. And the Nordic goddesses kind of came to me, I guess you could say, at a certain point in time. I'd been working with different kind of spirituality and magic in a rather eclectic sense, and I still do that. I never actually had any real spiritual revelation as, oh, there's more in the world than the material world. I always knew that. And I was lucky enough to have a family that always allowed me to space around in my own little world. But I came to a point when I felt that the world was very restricted as it was presented to me. So I needed a language. I needed a language for that spirituality that I knew was there and the magic that I knew was there. I went into, among other things, witchcraft, because it suited me. It was very free. I could do more or less what I wanted, and I could approach the spiritual path any way I wanted. And I still had paths to talk to and a language and tools to learn. And I had done that for a while. And then I thought, and I was still living back home in Sweden, I thought, but isn't it a little weird that I talk to goddesses and gods from India and from Pakistan and from where have you, but not to the goddesses that have been around just where I live. And once I had that thought, they came in pretty rapidly and started talking to me. They started appearing to me and giving me messages of things. Among other things, I was supposed to do in my life. And one thing that they wanted me to do, and they were very clear about this, I'm not so sure I had a choice, they told me to write this book that was published 2013, Nordic Goddesses. And they told me to write it because the alpha true world and the modern world where people use old Nordic mythology and the like, is pretty male-dominated. and a little stuffy sometimes. Let's call it that. So they wanted my help, I think, to bring in a little more of the female energy in the Asa True world. So that was my mission, and that's what I did. And I never had to question who was supposed to be in the book. It's nine goddesses predominantly, and I write about some others briefly as well. And they were very clear about who was going to be in the book and also what they wanted me to write about. So it's just one of those writing processes when I really didn't have that much to do with it. I just sat down and wrote down whatever they told me to. I experienced, maybe because they were so forceful, that connecting to them gave me another step. It was another stepping stone in my spiritual path. It made it stronger. It made it more collected somehow. They are a little bit like the runes. It's very much cutting to the chase. Why are you doing this? I have had nights when they have laughed at me when I said, but I don't want to do this. Yeah, sure. You're supposed to do this. Go on with it. What are you afraid of? They can be pretty harsh, but mm-hmm. they did push me in a direction that I needed to go, and I'm very thankful to them for that. They're pretty cool, the Nordic goddesses. I like working with them.
Especially when they give that little nudge. What are you afraid of? Come on, get on with it. Yes, I like that.
Exactly. That's what they are. There's no sweet little angel spirits comforting you at night. They can comfort too, but they can be pretty pushy. And once you're on that path, at least for me, there was really no turning back. There were things I had to do. There were things they told me to do that I just had to. Thus the book, and thus many other things that unfolded in my life.
Okay, so if you were doing, because what I did was I pulled a reading, a rune reading page, all right, just to see, get my sights
get
on.
Get your memory back about it.
I know, yeah. So the one I always liked, and I seem to get frequently because I just happened to gravitate to that, was Wunjo. And that's the one for joy. W or V
joy,
for joy.
Oh, how lovely.
That was
lovely.
My...
So that's your rule now, to work with joy. And joy can be a tricky thing, I think, because it's so easy to say, I want more joy in my life. But why do we keep ourselves from joy all the time? If things were just the way we wanted, we would always be joyful, right? I always interpret that rune also as, allow yourself to be joyful even in silly senses. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, yeah.
Don't
care
so much about what people think about you or how you present yourself. People think you're a little silly because you start laughing in the middle of the conversation. Well, maybe that doesn't matter so much as long as you feel good about it. Another thing that I often, and I don't know if this is true to you, but I often... associate the rune of joy with is the elven people, the forest people, the light elves.
And they can
be very, very interesting to work with. Do you know about them?
Okay. When I was a kid, I had a little person who was my imaginary friend till I was about 4.5 or 5 before I went to school, because I talked about it all the time and I didn't really understand until I was an adult. I asked for the picture because I knew whoever it was didn't frighten me. And when I told my mom that Hago flew out the window, that, he was gone. I never spoke about him again. So I asked who I had been talking to. And so the dream that night, because I said, I can't write my book unless I know. And that night, and the dream that I had, a robin comes up. I'm in a cabin. And at the time when I was little, we lived in a place where I would play in the woods all day long. Anyway,
right.
the
so
deal
did I,
was,
by the way.
Yes. Okay. So the robin comes up to the window and is kind of getting my attention. So I turn around and then I can see out the back into the backyard. And there's this little man who's standing next to a fox. That he can ride the fox, and he's looks more like just a miniature person, but not, he's only maybe from what I'm looking at, 3 feet, 4 feet at the most tall. He's a miniature person, and he has brown trousers, a brown shirt, a brown hat, and a smile on his face, and he's got leather skin, and he was Hago. And it was, I was saying, oh my gosh, you're a little person. I wouldn't have known that, but he was my companion when I was a kid and I played in the woods. And so all that started coming back. I was like, oh my gosh. Okay. We're going to have to take a break. We're going to take a break. Going to come back and you can tell me more about your little people, because it just, it just reminded me. All right. So not enough time. Sophia Karen Axelson will be back on Conscious Living.
You may know me from film and television, but I'm also involved off-screen, encouraging young girls to be proud of who they are. Body image breakdowns and the pressure to be perfect often causes a girl's self-esteem to plummet. But by being positive role models, we can change that. The number one wish among girls is for their parents to communicate better with them, including more frequent and more open conversations. So get involved and start talking. Begin a conversation with a girl in your life about the importance of self-esteem. Tell her why she is beautiful and set an example by avoiding negative self-talk. You can make a difference in the lives of girls, and that is no laughing matter.
This message was brought to you by American Women in Radio and Television and was made possible through the generous support of the Dove Self-Esteem Fund, working together to raise self-esteem in girls everywhere. To learn more, go to campaignforrealbeauty.com. Thank you for making a difference.
Wildfires burn millions of acres across the country each year. And each year, wildland firefighters battle to contain them. But they can't do it alone. For some communities, it's not a question of if wildfires strike, but when. And a single ember can travel more than 1 mile. As it twists and turns and floats through the air, that single ember can find its way to where you live and can ignite and destroy your home or your community. That single ember can be just as dangerous as the wildfire itself. You can't control where the ember will land, but you can control what happens when it does. You can take action now to prepare your home and your community for wildfire. Get fire adapted. Learn what you can do now to reduce wildfire damage later at fireadapted.org. Prepare, protect, prevail. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council. Learn more at fireadapted.org.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. The only thing I didn't learn in school today is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
Today, you ate Greek yogurt. You took the train. You wondered why people spend so much time reading celebrity blogs. You read a celebrity blog. You planned a workout. You skipped it. You did all the things that one normally does the day before a devastating earthquake shakes the community to the ground. You never know when the day before is the day before. Prepare for tomorrow at ready.gov/today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Sophia Karen Axelson is my guest. We're talking about runes and goddesses and Sweden and little people, a little bit of everything. I was just...
We're covering a little bit of everything. Yes, absolutely. You told me before the break a beautiful story. We were talking about the rune of joy, and I said that often for me, it's connected to the elves, the forest folks. You call them the little people. We can call them the light elves. And you told me a beautiful story about a childhood friend you had in the imaginary world, as they called it, but we know it's real.
Yes.
That came back to you. That came back to you in a dream. I liked the picture very much, the image that you drew in my mind. And it sounds to me like a very typical forest folk being. And I think there's something really beautiful when you can work with magic and you can reconnect to things that you did when you were a kid. And then maybe it was taken away from you one way or the other. But as an adult, to be able to reconnect to that, I think we reconnect with parts of ourselves. And for me, the forest folks, the goddesses, what have you, they're all real and they're all there for us to reach out to when we want to. But we have to be open and we have to listen, just like you did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and the thing is, I always felt very comfortable in the woods. And that was, I would walk to the neighbors instead of walking on the roads. I took the shortcut through the woods. This is like Little Red Riding Hood without the wolf. Okay. Mm-hmm. Anyway, go through, and I had my friends. I loved ringneck snakes. I loved frogs. I loved ladybugs. You know, the bugs and insects weren't a problem. I didn't see them as something to be squished or anything. I saw all sorts of animals and bugs as just really fascinating. I thought they were beautiful and they were friends. And so this might have had something to do with that. And so now as an adult, I feel very comfortable in the outdoors and I seek it out. I'm in the city now, but we have trees and flowers and I've listened to the little people, not the little people. These are the little fairies. And I've heard them singing and they sing to the rain to bring it in. And then they also carry the leaves down to the ground. And like each of them has a purpose and you see them. And it's like, oh my gosh, it's such a magical, I guess that's the only word that really fits the best, a magical world that they inhabit. And most of the time, they're just going about their business without us ever having a clue. But if you ever have a chance, it's just an amazing encounter. I remember sitting in the garden. I was along the front yard. I was pulling out some weeds and the rain, the clouds were just on the side coming in and the singing started and it was just sounded like, well, if you were on helium, little teeny tiny high voices singing, "Mother, bring the rain that we might drink." I will never forget it because it was just unexpected. And then the clouds shifted just a tiny bit and a few sprinkles fell. And that was it. And that was all that was needed. It was like, you know, they didn't ask for a monsoon. They didn't ask for a drenching. They just said, bring some rain. And so they got a few drops. And it was just magical, that moment, enough to let me know that these worlds are so real. But because of what we do, we tune them out accidentally. I think it's accident.
Accidentally, I think it often is. And it is a magical world. And anything in the natural world, as far as I'm concerned, can be an ally, whether it's a weed or an ant. You just have to listen. And I think it's as important to listen to what we see physically in the natural world as listening to the spirit world. Because in that world, it isn't separated. We separate it in our minds. And often, if we can go back a little and remember, if we're lucky, we had that contact as children. I think very young children always have it. And if we're real lucky, we can get it back. Runes and goddesses is just one path to go to get there. For some people, maybe talking to forest folks and talking to animals and plants are the way to go. I do think that most people need to reconnect to the natural world and to the spirit world on deeper levels. I really think there are parts that we have lost along the way. And unfortunately, we live in a society where it's kind of forced away from us. You're a girl, therefore it's like this. You're a boy, therefore it's like this. Now you're this old, now you have to do this. It's not really that anybody sets it up and want to be cruel, I think. It's just how society works. So we're kind of owned into the scale of parts of ourselves to fit in. And somewhere along the line, we have to find some kind of new language, some kind of practice, some kind of tool to get us back to where we were. And that's what magic work is for me, really, to do that, to reconnect as much as I possibly can to all the natural forces out there. And they are out there, just like you described. They're everywhere. Even in the city, you can hear fairies.
Yeah.
We live out far out on the countryside, end of a dirt road. Oh, I have the privilege of falling asleep listening to cicadas or the rain and wake up with the morning birds this is a privilege, of course. It makes it easy to connect, but you can connect anywhere, city, countryside, anywhere.
You explained it. I mean, you when you said, I walk in both worlds, that's a good way of putting it, you know, that, because that explains it right there.
And to allow all the worlds to be just as important. And I think for me, that's why I kind of feel a little drawn to forest folks and nature magic and witchcraft. It's not better than anything else, but it isn't for me to sit and meditate and try to separate myself from the physical world. I think the physical world and the material world is just as magic as anything else, but it's spirited. It has spirit in it. And that's what we have to reconnect to see that. And when we do that, we cannot help ourselves to treat everything with more respect and more love, because everything is very precious once you see that it's spirit in it. And once you see the magic that you talked about, that there are spirits and fairies and forest folks that work to make the rainfall, you get more respect for nature and the natural world. And for me, that's true magic, to understand that.
Well, and part of it is, you know, the concepts we have. You have a different cultural background coming from Sweden. You've grown up with different images, different ideas, different cultural themes than we have here in the United States. And so that's an aspect that you bring to the equation that gives you, even though we're talking about nature spirits and fairy folk and all that, you have images and pictures that are going to be different than mine. And that's what's so beautiful about this. I love that because it expands us, I think.
It does expand us. Definitely. I truly believe that almost all cultural progress, or all psychological progress, all emotional progress, is when we clash different thought processes, different cultures. We need to be expanded. We should be expanded. I would never sit down and say, yeah, Nordic goddess is the best thing in the world. Actually, right now, I'm super fascinated about everything I have around me here in the States, and I'm learning new languages, and learning to know new forest folks and new plants and what have you. It expands us, really. Sometimes we move somewhere to another country and it happens like that, or we can take in something from another country or another place or another culture, and we can expand through that. I think the mix is important, and it's fun too.
yes. And that's, I was just going back as we're getting through here. I want to go back to the Echo World, the magazine that you have taken over and are now part of with your partner. There are links here to both of your blogs. If you go to the Echo World, if you're listening, theechoworld.com, and the articles, there are several that I'm looking at right now. Maureen St. Germain has one, also Albert Falugo, Barbara Hanclow, and there's a lot of information and wonderful insight. Do you have a favorite in the categories that you put in here? Is there a favorite or one that you could recommend for someone who's listening?
Like a favorite article? First I want to say that all the issues are up on the website too. So if anybody wants to go back and look, the last 1.5 years since we took it over, all the issues are there to read through online. So that's an easy one. Okay, but I do have a favorite, actually. It's very self-indulgent. But the last, it is very self-indulgent. Not for me, but well, maybe for me. Mostly for my husband, Michael Peter Langevin. So the last issue, the very most recent October issue, we didn't know what to have on the cover. And we thought, I don't know, which is pumpkins, what do you do that is a little Halloween-like that hasn't been done thousands and thousands of times? So we decided that we'll make our own photo shoot. And Michael, for some reason, is painting deer skulls. We found loads of skulls around here, and he's painting deer skulls, and he's doing it brilliantly. They are beautiful. The deers have been asking get a new life, and he gives them new life with colors and glitter and all kind of things. So we created a photo shoot with one of these deer skulls, or a bunch of them, and I added, of course, some marigolds for Day of the Dead and stuff like that. And that is actually the most beautiful cover, I think, that we have had so far. And Michael's written a very interesting article that goes with it about how he came about to do this strange art form. That is a very magical art form.
It's beautiful. I'm looking online that I see on the site. Yeah, the painted skull, and it, but it doesn't have, it's not that dark image. It's a light and colorful, a playful image with flowers. It's very magical.
And why I think I'm so proud of it is that it's a true life and death statement. Life and death goes together, and it's actually more life than death, even though it's a skull. So that may be one of my favorites that we've done.
Okay. Yes. Self-indulgent. Yeah. Self-indulgent. Well, okay. So for people who are wanting to read too, I've got, there's an article by Whitley Strieber in here. There's also, and I mean, you were saying Neil Donald Walsh had written several for you guys. So there's all across the board, a lot of different thoughts and beliefs and ideas to pull from with this.
It is, we are very proud of this magazine. Some people say that New Age is not edgy anymore, that, you know, everybody's doing yoga these days, which is a great thing, by the way. But we do try to take in authors that kind of push us a little further in how we think and how we believe and how we our philosophy about things. And we also try to take in authors that create... give certain tools on how you can work magically and spiritually. And I'll be honest, I think we're doing a pretty good job with it. We're very proud of our authors and the interviews we're doing. There's a lot of fun stuff in there.
The one with Whitley Strieber, Eternal Love, and it says it's by the Echo World staff. That's a beautiful story.
Yes. He has actually, we have done several with him, and this is the love story one, I think, that you refer to.
Yes.
It was
with his wife, and talking about going through the brain cancer and the tumor, and the connection that they had. And still have.
And I think one of my favorites in that article is when we asked about his marriage, and he said, well, as far as I'm concerned, me and my wife are still married, even though she passed away several years ago. And I thought that was a very beautiful statement.
Yeah, it's outlined here. Because somebody, I don't know who was asking the question, the quote you've outlined, which I think is beautiful. I believe in marriage differently. It used to be till death do we part, but now it is as we abide. So we are still married. And that's just a gorgeous, you know, you just think, wow, that's a huge heart.
It was one of those interviews when both Michael and I were so touched afterwards that we just sat and talked about it, and then we reread it, and it is a very touching and a very, very sweet interview. We like it a lot.
Well, so these are the kinds of the ways that we connect, and it's a spiritual element that goes, you know, it's beyond words. It's like the runes. It gives you a picture, and that with that picture, you get so much more information.
Yes. And it is exciting to publish a magazine that goes along these themes, because you realize for every issue that there are so many subjects we can cover, and there are so many interesting people out there, and there is so much fun things to talk about in the spiritual realm, which you would know with your radio show, of course, but it never gets boring. It never evens out. It's just exciting. Every article and every interview and every cover is just as exciting. And there's so many voices out there that has a lot of things to say, and it's fun to be part of that, to be able to make that happen.
So you have been, have you traveled a lot since you've been here? So what, you've been here about 3 years? Is that what?
I've been here actually exactly 3 years. Yesterday, we realized I came to Washington, D.C. 3 years ago to live here. So we celebrated a little bit about that. I actually got very busy, very quick after I came here. So we haven't been traveling that much. I've been around a little, but not that much. So I don't know so much about the States apart from Virginia and some small travels. I've been in San Diego at other times too. I like the States from what I have seen. I feel very welcomed. We have a lot of great people around us. We were lucky enough to travel before we came here. We actually spent half a year in Mexico when we really didn't know what to do with this love that kind of crashed down on us living in two different countries. So we took half a year of travel in Mexico. So we felt pretty good about our traveling and felt that, okay, now we can really, really spend time and just making businesses work. Apart from the Echo World that we are publishing, we have a marketing company too, Langevin Access and Marketing. And we also do a lot of private writing. So we've actually been working pretty hard since I came here to make all of that work together here in a strange land. Virginia is strange to Michael too, who comes from California and Boston from the beginning. So that's, we haven't been traveling that much. That was a long answer to your question.
I know where that goes. See, that's why the runes are so helpful.
Yes.
You could have given me a joy rune. There you go. Okay, well, so with your poetry, you've got one on the blog spot, Caverns, The Deeper We Go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you get into the pictures and you get into the in-between time moving. Mm-hmm. Of the pictures that you've taken through, this is in Virginia?
That's actually Endless Caverns here in Virginia. We were there just the other week. I love taking photos, so I took loads. And those are the ones that made it up on the blog. I mix my blog a little. Sometimes it's poetry. Sometimes it's goddesses. Sometimes it's runes. Sometimes it's a piece of an article or something that I think is especially good. But it's always about magic one way or the other. And I like playing with the concept of making the everyday magical. And you go down in caverns in Virginia called Endless Caverns, only that. And it's a show cabin. You have a guide and such. But still, you can feel how magic it is and what people must have done there thousands of years ago. I can only imagine the ceremony they had there and how holy it is, how very, very holy it is. So that's what I tried to capture in that short little poem. So I do that kind of writing on my blog. Yeah.
Well, and you talk, there's one of them where you're talking about the world tree and the, and it speaks to the types of articles and the writers and the wisdom keepers that you address through mm-hmm. the Echo World. I think it really, in a very nice way, says that, you know, there's no one way, there are many ways. And the people that you are focusing on are encouraging us to find our way.
Exactly. And we are very specific about that. We don't mind if we have somebody making a submission about their specific field, but it's very important to us that there's always a tone saying, listen to what you think is right. Listen to what you, what makes sense to you. This is just a tool. This is just a way of thinking. But when it comes to spirituality in general, I think it's very, very important to always stress that it always has to be you in the end who makes the choices about what feels right to you. Because we know what happens if we don't do that. There's a reason there are a lot of people who have gurus or leaders that they look up to instead of looking into themselves and find their own wisdom within them. So we really try to do that. We try to keep the diversity, but we also always try to keep that tone and ask. Sometimes we specifically ask writers to stress that so they don't miss that part and say, my way is the only way, because that can never be true. A magical tool is just a magical tool. What's important is where it leads you and that you go a little deeper in yourself, connect a little bit more with the world. Connect a little bit more with the magical world. So that's what we're trying to do.
So if we had to leave on a note from one of the goddesses, who would be the most likely to step up and give us a last little parting shot?
Okay, I got it right here. So that would be Saga. And Saga is the writer's goddess. She is the one who sits by the river where all the stories flow by in Old Norse mythology. So why I want to present her is that if somebody needs a little inspiration to write and maybe submit something to us even, they can call for Saga.
Oh, there. That's perfect.
Good. Good.
Okay. And since she has that little Norse element of, what are you afraid of? Why don't you just do it?
Exactly. Just write. Just send it. So just find your inspiration.
And then part of it is just being free to try something new or different and branch out. You know, that's the
truth. Sometimes that can shake you loose. I'm glad you asked about the goddesses, because sometimes something very unexpected like that can shake you loose. But, I've never talked to something like this before. And they can tell you unexpected things and kick you to get going in a certain direction. So I would recommend Saga to all the listeners.
Okay. And then to find out more about that and more about your upcoming book, which you're going to be putting on your blog, the Pits, the English translation, people can connect with you through either the echoworld.com or your blog. Mm-hmm. That's Sophia Karen Axelson Blogspot, right?
Yes, that's correct. And we also have, both me and Michael have our blogs on the Echo World site. So it's easy to find. If people want to know more things about me, Google my name, because I have all kind of articles out there in different magazines, and you can find me on Facebook and on Twitter. Sophia Karen Axelson in combination isn't all that common, so I'm pretty easy to find.
Okay. I appreciate your time. This is one of those things where I hadn't worked with the goddesses before, and it's nice to know they sound very similar to my guides. Oh, what are you afraid of? Come on, just do it. Why are you stopping? You know, you're procrastinating, you know. They don't seem quite that blunt. They just say, why? Go. Do. You know, they're much more runish.
well, contrite. You know, we can mix it up a little bit. Maybe you would like to try to talk to the goddesses too, Andy.
I know. Well, I was just, the one thing when you brought up the story of the little people, it was so powerful to be able to just, and I was really fortunate because my mom had this very clear memory, and she said, Wendy, you never spoke about it again. You just said, hey, go flew out the window. And it was with me for a few years. So it was, you know, it was something that was very concrete in her memory. And so when I tagged on to that and said, okay, I want to write this, so I will have a bookend. I will have the beginning of, I had this little companion who then let me go to learn my way in this corporeal world of the, you know, the things that we consider finite. And then to come back and say, all right, I'm ready to retrieve the memory that I left behind. And my mom gave me that beautiful gift of saying, this is what happened. So I went back, oh, so who are you? What did you really look like? How was I not afraid of you? How would I have known that you were my friend and my ally? And then I got that picture with the little red bird coming up to the window. It was red bird. But it was just that thing of being able to pull it in so beautifully and very, very specific to what I had asked. That's how we work with magic, in my opinion.
It is. It is definitely. It was a beautiful story. Very beautiful story. Very precious. I liked it a lot.
I appreciate your time. I know that you're in a gorgeous spot there in Virginia, being able to be out there with, you know, out in the country and being able to wake up with the sounds of the wild, the birds and all. I have a few, but not quite that. So enjoy what you're doing. And please, if you're listening, anybody who's listening, send your story in. Don't be afraid to write and share your own progress with this, because we all have magical elements in us.
Absolutely. And that would be the end note, I think. Thank you so much, Wendy.
Thank you. Thank you. Sophia Karen Axelson, check her out. Do the YouTube. And thank you for listening. You can check out my websites, the Talking to Night Lies or Wendy's Coffee House. A lot of stuff happening. Whatever you're doing, wherever you are, trust you're doing everything that you need to do, and you can create a beautiful and wonderful life. Very special for you. See ya.